Eita, ola kwazwai muri eZimbabwe. Mfakazo muhle muri eZimbabwe ndinomgamshwa emchirongwa chedu chelo chidiki. Uhlelo The Connection lilami uMike Hove. Welcome Zimbabwe muhle to Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Today is Tuesday the 15th of October 2019 and we're coming to you live from Studio 7, Voice of America, Washington DC, and I'm your host Mike Hove. Once again, Zimbabwe muhle ndinomgamshira emchirongwa chedu cheve chidiki. Uhlelo The Connection lilami uMike Hove, aka Big Mike. And today is Tuesday, the 15th of October 2019. Namhlanje uhlelo nathi mchirongwa. Today on our program, The Connection Zimbabwe muhle, we place a focus on abantu besifazana, the girl child women. Namhlanje lusuku lenu, tonight focus is on you. On Friday, the 11th of October 2019, Zimbabwe joined the rest of the world in commemorating International Day of the Girl Child. Now, for those that don't know, this is a day set aside by the United Nations, which aims to highlight and, of course, address the needs and the challenges of the girl child worldwide. Not just Zimbabwe, not just Zimbabwe, but worldwide. This idea is supposed to target and address the challenges, whilst at the same time promoting and empowering the girl child, whilst, of course, promoting the idea of fulfilling their human rights. The event, which was themed Girl Force Unscripted and Unstoppable, targets tackling issues like child marriage, education inequality, gender-based violence, girls' inclusion in certain issues pertaining to politics, of course, business, of course, the economy, of course, and other social areas. As mentioned earlier on, this is a worldwide thing. The International Day of the Girl Child is a worldwide event that shows and highlights issues pertaining to women facing gender equality. It's not unique to Ilizwe Zimbabwe. Women across the African continent are doing everything in their means to combat gender inequality. On the program today, we look to talk to abantu abasakhulayo vechidiki varikuZimbabwe Zimbabwe, who are women who have set up programs and who are pushing for gender equality within the country. But before we head over to them, Zimbabwe Mushe, let's head over to Benin and Nigeria, where women decided, hi, sekwanele, enough is enough, let's do what we can, ukuze sithuthukise abantu besifazane.
The girls walk a long way to go to school. So many of the girls that I've been putting to school miss school because something stung them in the foot, and it get infected. If you don't have a pair of shoes and you have to walk on a very hot hand, how in the world will you wake up in the morning and say, I want to go to school? So shoes is part of self-confidence, and it's about empowerment. So that's what we do with UNICEF in Batonga.
Someone who was brought up in Nigeria, I thought it was really important to shed a light on what is going on and the issues that are affecting young women, particularly conflict, gender inequality, poverty. And it was also really important to offer poetry as a tool of expression to empower the young women and to talk about these issues in a different way that they might not have previously.
I want a country, a nation, where girls' voice will be heard, where girls will be able to reach their full potential, achieve their dreams and goals in life, be a voice to other voiceless children, both boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, you saw what the youth are doing out there in different countries, in Nigeria, in Jalo, Benin. You saw there in Nigeria, the first video that came out was from Benin, and it was a lady who represents a UNICEF. She had an initiative whereby abantu abasakhulayo eBenin were supplied with ithathulo, shoes, shangu. From there, we then moved over to Nigeria, where you saw a young lady who gave her platform to abantu abasakhulayo to come and use poetry as a form of expression, which isiZulu ukuthi hayi izinto zime njani ngale eNigeria when we're talking about ukuhlonitshwa kwamalungelo abantu abesifazana elizweni. What's on the same issue of women empowerment, Zimbabwe today joins the rest of the world in celebrating women once again. Today is International Day of Rural Women. So abo mama labo sisi abantu abesifazana bari kumamisha abaphile emaphandleni sithi happy International Day of Rural Women. These challenges are faced by the girl child in Zimbabwe. That is our discussion in namhlanje kuhlelo. So I'm looking to hear from you all. Ukuthi, what needs to be done to ensure that the girl child is empowered, ensuring that she receives equal treatment and, of course, equal opportunities in comparison to her male counterparts? Tina Majita, guys, what needs to be done? Sitshelene, ngenani kuhlelo abo mama, ngenani kuhlelo. Right, umthokazo omuhle abafisa ukungena kuhlelo lilakho ukusixhuma ku WhatsApp kunombolo ezithi +12024650318 mokhwalisa zwekhale kutifonera live pamepo pa +12026192077. If you're looking to join tonight's conversation, you can call me live parunare. You can call me on +12026192077 or you can text me on WhatsApp on +12024650318. We're broadcasting live on 909 medium wave frequency, Jalo Gu 4930, Lagu 15460 kilohertz Gu short wave. And on the internet, Zimbabwe Moshe, Mtogazo Moshe, Mure Zimbabwe, we're broadcasting live on our three web pages, those being www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voashana.com, Sikona Jalo Gu www.voamwa.com. And for our Facebook fanatics, Ngena Nguchelo, Pinenchurongo Micho Nyoro, Maundreenyu, we're live on our three Facebook pages, those being VOA Shana, VOA Ndebele, and of course a VOA Studio 7. So, Muria Zimbabwe, Msakanganu Kunyora, my comments, Nyora, number one, open up Chirongwa. We are the most important part, Msakanganu Kushia Chirongwa, Kuitrog Tuone, no one do it. Magatera Chirongwa, the connection, Mwineni, Mike Hove.
Eita, hola, ndeipiko, hamazangu. If you are with us right now, you are tuned into The Connection. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Tanki, abontanga. Tinotenda zvikuru nekupinda muchirongwa. Now, all I ask is that you follow us on social media and join the conversation. Our Facebook pages are VOA Studio 7, VOA Shana, and VOA Ndebele. Or you can text us on WhatsApp. The number is +12024650318. To converse with me, ngawufuna ukukhuluma nami, can I also chat naneni? Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. The username is @BigMyke3. BigMyke3.
@BigMyke3 is the username on Twitter, Njalogu, Instagram, Zimbabwe Muhle. We're live on our three Facebook pages. I said this, VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, Njalogu, VOA Studio 7. Ngibona ukuthi abantu ngempela sebeqalukubhala imibono yabo. Tinotenda zvikuru vatotanga kutonyora maondro avo. Musa kangane zvekare mukwanisa kuisa number dzenyu papage redu reVOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, kona Njalogu, VOA Ndebele. Tichakufundira live apa runare. Once again, Zimbabwe Muhle, welcome to The Connection Studio 7. Very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Nasim Chirongwa, we're talking about the challenges faced by the girl child elizweni. Abantu abasakhulayo ikakhulukazi abesifazana vari kuchema chema vachiti munyika kodzero dzavo hadzisi kucherechedzwa. When we're talking about issues such as access to quality education and of course equal opportunities to the political realm, the business realm, and of course social issues. But that's not for me to tell you more. Let me welcome my first guest who's joining me live via telephone from Zimbabwe. Nkosazana Namatai Kokweza. Mzwari Kokweza, makadenyu. Welcome to our youth program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, today we're talking about the challenges faced by the girl child. I know you're one person who is ridden for the girl child in Zimbabwe. You totally fight for girl child rights. Could you tell us more about the challenges that young women are facing in the country?
Okay, thank you very much for that question. So basically, we are at a point in our country where, you know, the economy has dilapidated severely, mm-hmm. so that it has impacted different segments of our population. Mm-hmm. And the hardest hit are usually women and girls. So maybe I will start with the basics, like water and sanitation. Mm-hmm. You'd realize that, particularly in places like Harare, there is no water.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you don't have access to affordable and portable water. That's the first thing. And you know that water is more of a woman's thing because usually it's the women that go out and fetch water. The next issue is the issue of sanitary way. You know, I was talking to my friends recently and I said, you know, about this time last year, you would buy a pack maybe of Farai pads just for $1.
Mm-hmm.
Because Noji, it's now going for maybe $10. And imagine you are in a house where Tangumuriva Spana 5, and everyone has to use $10, you know, per month. Maybe someone needs 2 packets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually very expensive. And considering Kuti, you know, a lot of people in Zimbabwe are living under the 700 RTGS. Yeah, in Ottawa, in Zindoye, in poverty, that I'm lying.
Mm-hmm.
You'd realize that a lot of people can't actually afford sanitary wear. And it's a good sense because a lot of girls will miss school. A lot of girls will lose confidence even because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes back to the issue of quality education. So those are big issues. And also the issue of electricity. We don't have sustainable energy sources in our country, and electricity is gone for most of the day. How much in the situation, Yakuti, you live in a neighborhood where there's no street light, mm-hmm. nothing. Already now I'm insinuating to issues of gender-based violence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not safe neighborhoods because a lot of the things that are happening are severely affecting the girl child. So now coming back even to the issue, Yakuti, when young women are going to fetch maybe, you know, water or they're going to fetch maybe firewood, some of them radical abuse, and that's also another issue that's emanated from that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd realize that you know, if the economy has become worse off, it would actually have had an increase in the impediments that, you know, young women are facing, particularly the girl child. And then on the issue of gender-based violence also, you know, as poverty worsens, that also worsens. So I was reading an article recently by the Daily News in November 2018, and they were saying that 24 you know, women are raped every day. So that's like one woman an hour. And this was before things had gone downhill. I would actually want to hear what the statistics would actually say now. And you also have then start saying that, you know, one in three girls are sexually abused by the time that they're 17, and this is Zimbabwe. So you'd realize that issues like sexual violence against women, particularly girls, because if one in three before they turn 17 have been sexually abused, that's actually pretty significant. So also maybe the final issue that I actually want to touch on, the issues of how the girl child has been severely impacted, you know, by the economy in this country, is the issue of, you know, commercial sex workers, particularly child commercial sex workers. If you look at communities like Epworth, I also have the areas like that in Marondera,
mm-hmm.
You actually have underage girls, that's kind of like, you know, as young as maybe 9, 12, 14,
mm-hmm.
Who are selling sex because, you know, the situation at home is so bad and it's so severe.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd actually realize that in terms of the challenges, the young women in Zimbabwe at the moment have a lot of hurdles to overcome. And it's very difficult because, like, when I look at issues like commercial sex work, particularly for children, you'd realize that it's because of abject poverty.
Mm-hmm.
In Zara, in Oetakuti, Mwana Ashuke. So I think maybe just to sum up the major challenges that the glow child is facing, I think I'll actually address it from those key perspectives.
All right, Namasai, let me just hold you there on the line for 1 second. Let me quickly take a call and then I'll come back to you, okay?
That's all right.
All right, Zimbabwe Mushe, that was Namasai Kwekweza, our first guest who came in and she touched on several issues as a tinta about abesifazana elizweni. But let me take up my first caller and then we'll go back to Namasai. Sikhubekele phambili ngwatava lukhona kuthi namhla. Caller mthereri, aropi namshirongo, ndiyana ripo partner.
Hello.
Yebo putu njani?
Hayi, ngiyaphila njani?
Hayi, siphilile, ngibani okhona ecingweni?
Oh, Ngusei Prince Nqobizi, Ngazitha Khumalo.
Ah, Khumalo, unjani baba?
inkosi isiqinile.
At least hayi mbona usithabile. And use Zimbabwe?
Yebo.
At least good. So udaba lukhona egudwini lamhlanje Khumalo, siphatha udaba mayelana lamalungelo abantu abesifazana. Kuthiwa sekuyisikhathi sokuthi abantu bananze amalungelo abantu abesifazana elizweni. Into yokuqala, umbuzo wami wokuqala kuwe Khumalo, ubona ngani amalungelo abantu abesifazana elizweni ayahlonitshwa na?
Hayi, so mina ngokubona kwami ngibona ngani amalungelo abantu besifazana kuyazanywa sikile ukuthi kuyahlonitshwe. Ngoba kuningi izinto ezenzakalayo from kuma-NGOs maningi akhangelane nge-girl child. Owenza ukuthi lathi isinjesi ngoba basibona ngani i-boycott sisalele emuva kakhulu, but hayi kukhona sibile okwenzakalayo on the ground okutshengisa ukuthi amalungelo abomama ayananza.
Nxa sesixoxisana ngama-opportunities Khumalo, ngifisa ukuzwa kuwe, ubona ngani ama-opportunities akhona a-equal between abantu abesifazana njalo abantu abesilisa na?
Ama-opportunities okwakulezi insuku sibili sibona ngani abantu besifazana bayazayo ukuthi baphakanyiswe ukudlula kakhulu abantu besilisa, ngoba into ekhona yokuthi lokho kulakhona okuyani ukuthi abantu besifazana bancindezelwe kukhona engqondweni zabantu, but ungakhangelisisa even ku-A-level uzathola ukuthi umfana nxa ephume lama-points amangaka akakhwalifayi ukwenzela ujola uthile, kodwa unkazana nxa ephume ngama-points amangaka alinganayo bathi hhayi unkazana nxa ephume le-9 points uyavunye eliqhubela phambili kodwa umfana hhayi, kumbe umfana unkazana nxa ephume le-9 points uyathola uncedo kodwa umfana hhayi. Sibona ngani sibili okwakathesa umuntu ongumama bamqakathekisa kakhulu even ephalamenti balama-sisi before kungavotwa nje bona sehle bathola sikisi ama-sisi kungavotwanga. So kuningi okwenzakalayo ukuqhubekise lo mama phambili.
Hayi, siyakuzwa Khumalo, ngiyabonga kakhulu ngokungena kuhlelo bhuti.
Hawu, siyabonga sure. Hayi, siyakwazi ukuthi omama bafuna more bathi khonokho abakutholayo sibili siyakubongela ukuthi kuningi la nxa kukhona okunye okuncane okungenziwa, kodwa khonokho abakubongalayo abakutholayo sho kumele bakubonge ngoba kufanani kuyawungela lutho.
Hayi, siyakuzwa Khumalo, siyabonga kakhulu ngokungena kuhlelo.
Hawu, siyabonga kakhulu lathi sifulekele izulu.
Right, Zulu kandaba lo nguKhumalo, that was waKhumalo, mthereli wedu vari kuZimbabwe. Vabata nyaya dzakasiyana siyana ndavabvunzawo mbvunzo wangu wokutanga ndikati aiwa, do you think kuti human rights evanhukadzi ari kucherechedzwa munyika here? Vakati aiwa, hongu zvechokwadi, human rights, female women's rights are being respected in the country. Ndikati alright, ngatichibata nyaya yemaopportunities ivo vechi vanhukadzi munyika, are they getting the same opportunities when we're talking about one, entering into the political realm, two, entering into businesses, and three, of course, entering into social positions. Vakati aiwa, hongu zvechokwadi vanhukadzi are getting the same treatment, if not more opportunities than males. Saka ndiwo maonero avo asi I'm reading my comments aripo apa. Sikhangela kukhasi letu le-VOA Ndebele, ubaka Chidzani uti eZimbabwe abesifazana abala malungelo. Realistically, it's all talk nje. When we push for these gender issues, kuthiwa asihloniphi kumele sizehlise. Hayi, it looks like ubaka Chidzani is not agreeing ngombono kaKhumalo. Baka ngicela ufake inombolo yakho sikungenise kuhlelo sizwe ukuthi wena utheni. Let's go back to uNkosazana Namathayi Gqwekeza. Mzwane Gqwekeza, mshiri popa rinare. Right. So I was explaining, saying the caller that just came in, he feels as though women are getting the right treatment in the country. Women's rights are being respected. And of course, he feels as though when we're talking about opportunities, access to education and so forth, women are being put, are actually being given the upper hand more than males. What would you say about that?
Okay, thank you very much for your question. And in a longer person, I would say that on paper, yes. I think what he's saying ideally is there on paper. But in terms of the practicality and what's actually happening on the ground, it's a different story altogether. As a woman, particularly a young woman in this country, I'm not content and satisfied in terms of the leadership opportunities and leadership disparities that exist in business and in politics. Like if you look at all the boards in the country, the majority are men. You look at boards and parastatals, the majority are men. You look at places where there is key decision making, you know, a lot of that is men. You look at the judges in our country, a lot of the majority of them are men.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask yourself, because some of these positions and those roles are upon appointment, why can't they just appoint a woman, you mm-hmm. know? I look at this in the presidium, three of them are men, which is very concerning as well. So I think it's very important to have this honest and candid conversation to tell the economic situation in our country is so severe that also it limits women's participation, even in leadership, in politics, in business, even in social life in general. I look at the issue of equal opportunities and the issue of access. Men generally have more access. On paper, yes, we have put the legislation that seems to point us in that direction, but we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the whole 50-50 action, it's not there. It's not there, even though some of those positions are by appointment. On the issue of even quality education, the quality education of the girl child is disturbed by all the things that I mentioned prior.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if the economy is so bad that you can't afford sanitary wear,
mm-hmm.
it means good pangochamisa 1 week of school. Because we do take a jira uchinda uchikora
shiite.
So you can't actually get quality education if the home background is not sustained by, you know, a strong economic backbone. Same issue in healthcare, Chayu. You'd realize that our hospitals have dilapidated so severely that it negatively impacts the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually say that, yes, what the gentleman is saying on paper is true, but in practicality and in reality, that's not actually what's happening.
Now, Namatai, you seem to have hammered at the current state of the economy. Not so long ago, we heard President Emmerson Mnangagwa giving his State of the Nation address, and he was touching on issues relating to women. One of them was, of course, women empowerment. When we're talking about women in business, that seems to be one of the biggest issues. Saying to Anukadzi are not being, empowered enough when we're talking about business. There's an entire bank that was set aside to be able to produce loans for women in business. Is that enough?
I think maybe I'll come at it from the perspective, because I think we need to understand, we have set out to fight patriarchy, and patriarchy is not something that just affects women, but also affects men
mm-hmm.
As well. I think maybe the first thing to note is that we still have a long way in terms of making sure that there is what I call genuine or authentic women's empowerment
mm-hmm.
And women's participation. As opposed to, participation on a cosmetic level or tokenism. It would mean you've got a few women that you maybe will display or parade to say, these are powerful women and they are doing well. But in terms of real power, they actually don't have that. Again, I will keep insisting and reinforcing the idea that if you look in business, if you look in most of the government parastatals even, and if you look at the judiciary system, all of these are key sectors, you'd realize that, genuinely speaking, there are still more men who are leaders than there are women.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that maybe opening a bank, it is a step forward. We appreciate that, we applaud that. But it's not sufficient and it's not significant enough. And there are so many other areas here, which there are disparities that actually need to be addressed. From my perspective, I would actually say that, yes, the bank is maybe it's worth mentioning, but there is need to actually make more in terms of real and genuine participation of women in leadership, in business, and in politics.
All right. Let me hold you on the line for 1 second. Let me take my other caller, and then I'll come back to you. Right, Zimbabwe Mushe, Nkosazana Namatai Kwekweza, yena Ngusa Kulayo. She is the founder of an organization called We Lead. She's here commenting on Dutabo Lukoneko Twin. Stele Nungono Enu, Ngotabo Lukoneko Twin, Ngena Nguselo, Pindai Mchirongwa, +12024650318 by WhatsApp. Kanamshila Utfondra Live Parnare Kutsap, Pindem Chirongwa, 619-20077. I think Rugunzo on Tereri. I hear I have another call on Ngena Nguselo. Kola Kola Mtereri, Ariparu Narendian. It sounds like my caller just dropped, just as I invited them to Mapinda Mchirongwa. Aywa, regards to Zogera Kuna Namatai, Tinzo Kuti Iye Namatai Anoti. Namatai, are you still on the line?
Still on the line.
All right. So now, the Constitution has been set up to ensure that there is gender equality between male and female all in Zimbabwe. You've mentioned that all this is being done on a paperwork standpoint. However, the practice itself, the implementation, is a whole different story. Now, if you look at other African countries, it seems as though it's the same thing. However, other issues such as the fact that some countries live in a patriarchal society, some countries have certain cultural beliefs that don't allow women to attain certain powers. What is stopping Zimbabwe from getting to that standpoint whereby there is 50-50 between men and women?
All right. I think maybe first thing that I would say is that the idea of gender equality in itself is an open attack against patriarchy. And it's very important to understand that, you know, when you have been benefiting from the system of patriarchy, equality, the call for equality, might sound like losing power or oppression. Basically, it's a power struggle. And you'd realize, Kuti, for us, Kuti, tishike panjimbo. Ye kuti madzimai vakuwa na mikana ye kutunga mirira. And H1 kwa nevarumi. It will take a while because for men, it means losing power so that women can also gain power.
Mm-hmm.
So that having been said, I want to really kind of idea of power literacy and understanding how power works.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the longest time I've been saying that in women's movements we ought to understand that power is not given, it has to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
The key things I want to say is that you know, it is possible for a woman to run successfully and enter into parliament. Quota systems work, we strongly encourage that. But we also want women who actually run and get into parliament. We want women that get into positions where they have the authority to appoint, because that way, you know, if it's a woman empowered, they can also be sensitive to appointing other women. So I would say, Kutin, we need to aim for positions where there is real power.
Mm-hmm.
Real power in the context of if you are waiting to be appointed and then you are made to believe that you become powerful, you know, under any normal circumstances, the person who has appointed you is more powerful than you.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to waiting to getting into parliament or getting into office, we also must fight to be the people who end up appointing other people, because that's where the real power exists. So yeah. I think the idea is to look at it from a perspective of avoiding the illusion that we are there when we're actually not there. Of course, we celebrate every milestone. When a woman gets into power, when a woman becomes a business leader, we celebrate all of that. But we must also realize that we have a long way to go because it means men have to give up something for women to take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a difficult, it's not an easy thing, giving up power, because you've been enjoying the privileges of women being suppressed. So I'll give you an example. I was talking to one of my friends recently, and he was saying with me, nowadays the problem is that you get more. Women are strongly encouraged to apply, or it's a women-only thing. And then he was saying that if you're a woman in the 21st century, you're more privileged than men, and it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at him with a very playful smile. I said, listen, what you're now experiencing is what all women have been experiencing for the past, I don't know how many thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
This is what life has been like for us. And we create a few spaces where women actually have access to opportunities, and the men are already feeling left out and they're already complaining. But this has been reality for women for a very long time because the spaces are not a lot. So I would actually say, Kuti, coming at it from that perspective, the reason why it has been very difficult for us to achieve these milestones in practicality and reality beyond just the paperwork is because it's a power struggle. And men realize that for them to give women more opportunities to lead and to become very powerful, that could potentially, take away some of the privilege that they have from this patriarchal system.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me hold you on the line for 1 second. Let me take my second guest, and then I'll come back to you. All right. Thank you so much. Right, so Zulukandaba, Nunamatai Kwekweza, she said a lot of things, and one of them, she of course, that she touched on was the issue of gender equality. She was saying, so that there's 50-50 elizweni, amadoda bona, they have to give up some kind of power, and ukuthi lokhu, that's not an easy thing. Ngibona abantu ngempela, kulabantu ababhalayo, kucast lethu ele VOA Studio 7, that seems to be agreeing. Lo nkosazana Namathai Kwekweza, amongst them is Elvis Mukari. Elvis said ukuthi sanitary pads must be given free of charge. Uphinde wathi Namathai Kwekweza, I agree with you, there is serious exclusion, there is a need for serious lobbying. Jeremiah, we are paluti watching you from Gweru City, Zwedru City, Liberia. Ufortune Uti, I'm in Johannesburg, Gunjane Koli, Uchinos Uti, I'm watching from Harare, many thanks. Uayandam Lambo Uti, I'm watching from Cape Town, with Nesha Suti, I'm watching from Mozambique, Cabo Delgado. Bon dia, Ignatius. Freddy Martin was wapali nombre yake, Isaac Mshanga, like he put his number. But let me move over to my second guest, Umantate Mlotshwa. She is the founder of a Girls to School movement, which is a movement that is supposed to uplift the girl child who is in the rural areas. Mantate,
how are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm great.
So tonight we're talking, tonight I decided, you know what, it's all about women. I'm giving a platform to all women to come here and tell me more about the challenges that they're facing. And of course, give us the solutions. I know you're one of many women in Zimbabwe that have movements or foundations and have programs that target uplifting fellow women in the country. Now, my first question to you, I was asking Namathai earlier on, what do you feel is the biggest challenge faced by abantu besifazana elizweni?
I think the number one challenge, maybe that's something that's been arising recently, ukuthi the efforts that have been made to empower women are being questioned. We're living in a society that's saying ukuthi there's an imbalance that we're creating by empowering women. We're taking it out from men, and I think that's something that Namathai mentioned as well. The moment you try to empower women, the moment you try to empower the girl child, there is that question of who's empowering the boy child, who's preparing men for these empowered women. And I think that's a very big challenge, because somehow we're made to continuously reassess the programming we're doing for women in such a way that we need to accommodate men. But my issue has been with me, there are spaces where I need to bring together girls and talk to them about menstrual health management. I think those spaces can be safe spaces for girls where they can come and talk about the challenges associated with that, and we don't need a boy to be there to validate this issue of a state. And then also the other thing as well that I think is a problem in politics. I'm so passionate about politics and just seeing women participate in politics. And the biggest thing for me has been with the Zimbabwe is not ready for women leaders. And it's not just them, it's Africa, it's a lot of the communities they're in. The moment a woman runs for office, and people fail to find something to argue with her on or to fight her on. But rather than getting on with how you're going to take care of the family and the public office, how is it that you're not married at 35 but you want to run for office? There are these things that come into the picture because you're a woman, but they're not us men. I think that's the biggest challenge. And then the other thing within politics as well is that issue with the now ungo mama, especially Makaya. I saw it last year when women were running for office. They would tell you with the abantu abalama title deeds to izindlu ngobaba. So the moment I as a woman want to access a loan to start a business or to just invest in something, I need permission from the man. And normally, even if like Ninyela, that thing, I don't have collateral to get that. So at the end of the day, I discover that the people that have access to the economic opportunities within the community, Ngobaba, and when they run for office, they're better positioned to effectively run campaigns. And then maybe the last thing I would also want to raise as a challenge for women, both young and old, is the issue of access to sanitary pads. I think it's a very big issue in the sense of right now they're very expensive, like super expensive for people that are working. And the majority of women in them are about 70. And I was just looking at it, obviously there are places like in God's mind, informal settlements, and those people already in our informal places, I will the government already says that in the corner. people are not supposed to exist in those places. So you discover that investment in those areas is very low. And recently people have been coming up with stuff like reusable sanitary pads to donate to people in those particular places. But my biggest question is coming to say, are we facing an issue with access to water? Because if it's an informal settlement, that means the government is in Ankona, it's not organized. I want a mandate in that area. And this is the sanitary pads depend on water. So there's this dynamics around access to sanitary way, as well as the solutions you're bringing, that do not necessarily address the other challenges, structural issues of water mm-hmm. within those communities. And also, I had experienced with Abantana Bemakaya, Eswatini, that we're talking about how having Elama sanitary pads, they use Ama newspapers that they work, they use old rags, they use cow dung. And can you imagine how that is for someone? And this is a process that they don't choose. It's inherent to you because you're a girl. So that's just part of the bigger challenges we continue to face as women and girls across them.
I agree, Mam Lord. I'm going to come and touch my lady, and then I'll come back to you, Agnes.
Perfect.
All right, Zimbabwe Mose, that was Mandate Mlotshwa, my second guest here, and she is the leader of the movement at Girls to School. Uza stelo ngnengi, malaya ngoshelo lolo. Goto, wote mtatu mlaleli ungenayo gushelo, ndrugunza wote pane mtere lariparu nare anonzi. Alex, mkoma Alex, zuru fambe.
Zuru fambe.
Mushe, zuru fambe.
Aywa, zuru nana, zuru vendezo.
Ndaona kati ndima amato isa namba, mshitote aywa mkoma Mike, nasi nduda ubupinda wa mchiro ungwa chiro wa itinzwe. Mchirongwa deche ni mkoma chuze yo maondre.
Maone la ndio ya nini kwa ndio kuti zinu zaka uga kwa Zimbabwe. Maone la zaka hizi ya ndio kuti wanawatu kusunungu. Maone la angu ndio kuti kuti zinu zina kwa Zimbabwe mene zesta cha uye kwa ndio kuti zanu yeye na niko vazi. Tato kuti zanu niko vamo njika jesu. Kero munga pita hizi paka ina mwe munu azu zaka naka pati zare zanu yeye na niko vano wano wajo vesu.
I was like, I was like, Bro, Zimbabwe Mose, that was Alex, and of course, Suluka lapa gushe lo letu lapa sakula yuvnele sionipani. We can't be coming onto the program, and of course, giving people such titles, that is not okay. Masinga yenze kanjalo. Namatai, are you on the line? Namatai? Mzare kukweza muripo parunare.
Ngishiripo parunare.
I guess that was one of the things I was going to lead to when we're talking about the issue of women inclusion in politics. You heard Alex, so he was already going off. Last year, we saw, I guess, one of our female candidates running for office, and people really mistreated her, women included. How do we get to a stage and point whereby there is 50-50 when including women are pulling each other down?
Thank you very much for the question. So, I think maybe I will start with reference to what Mukoma Alex was doing, mm-hmm. Was saying. I think maybe over just to be very honest and direct, when it comes to the issues of women empowerment,
It's very important for us not to look at it from a political perspective or with a political eye. I personally believe that just as men in the ruling party are capable of abusing and disrespecting women, also men in the opposition party are capable of doing the same thing. So let's not make this thing wear a political face, because the problem with that is that if it happens, we'll be unable to recognize it, because in our minds we have made them wear the hat of being good people.
Mm-hmm.
So particularly when it's coming to the issue of women's rights, it's very important for us to look at it from an objective perspective. And I say this very openly. Patriarchy doesn't wear a political face. Whether you're opposition or ruling party, there is significant abuse of women and disrespect of women on both ends, in my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And this has to be addressed in an objective lens, not to say that this is political party X or this is political party Y.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has to be put out there. Then I think maybe what Ma'al is doing is also a clear indication of how generally women are treated the moment they decide to run for office. I'll give you an example. If a man is running for office and he's not married at 35, and he's sleeping around with anyone that he wants, no one is going to approach that man and talk about his values or his morals. Are they less than or are they more than?
Mm-hmm.
But if a woman is doing the same thing, then the judgment is very harsh. So my point exactly is to say that women have a steeper hurdle to actually overcome when it comes to them becoming leaders, because for some reason they're expected to be of a better moral accord than that of a man. Notwithstanding, could he maybe on the subject of who they date or whether or not they're married, is Raj Nabasa, because at the end of the day, can a person lead is what matters. So you realize there's this sexualization of women. To say that when you talk about a woman, you have to talk about how married she is, how many children she has or she does not have, how many times has she been married, has she been divorced, is she in a relationship, before we even start talking about them running for office. So, again, it hints back to the idea that, it's patriarchy at play.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to really say that both men and women are victims of patriarchy. In my personal experience, Ndaka Taura, a lot of male counterparts, some of them are old enough to be my father, some of them old enough to be my grandfather. And when they realize that you are an outspoken young person and you're actually going there to make impact, they would often at times invite me to work with their daughters to build that. And I believe that the world is coming to this awakening that we need more strong women with strong voices. And even men as old as my grandparents are realizing the value in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the new cool. So I think we need to take a gradualist approach. And again, as the other a lady who was speaking was saying about the issue of maybe including the boys, it's very important to open that conversation, because I believe it is a generation of men who grew up being told that a woman is less of.
Mm-hmm.
For you to change their mindset now, it's kind of too late. But you can actually work with the boys to let them know that it's okay for a woman to run for office. It's okay for a woman to be unmarried. It's okay for a woman not to have kids. It's okay for a woman to earn more than you and to be more powerful than you. Because it puts unnecessary pressure even on the boys when they grow up, maybe to realize that your wife earns more than you. And those things can happen, but they should actually know that it's okay. So I think that in terms of the political participation of women, there is a very great need for us to work towards making sure that hate speech on account of a person's agenda is something that it has to be a no-go, and there has to be some sort of sanction that makes sure that we protect women. Because actually, it actually discourages other women who are potential participants. Because maybe you are a good woman, a good wife, and you've got a reputation to maintain. And then you think to myself, but there are a lot of women who have the potential to become good participants, but sometimes they will not participate because I mean, guys, the moment I'm out there, so I think that is an important conversation to have, because women should not be judged by any unusual standard to that of a man. This is where equality starts. Why are you saying that it's okay for a man to do this and we are not going to question that? But when a woman does it, it becomes a big issue. So I think that's something that's very important to put out there, as it would actually be either a deterrent force or an encouraging force to women's participation in politics and leadership.
All right. Asizweni ukuthi uMamlotshwa yena uthini. Mamlotshwa usakhona ecingweni?
I'm down.
Umzila umlalile sengena ngempela and he wasn't shy to shoot off. Angimbuzulu namathayi laye ukuthi especially when you look back to last year ngesikhathi lapho sibona uMakhube esencintisa kukhetho esithi lami I'm putting my hat in the ring ngifisa ukuba ngumongameli welizwe at the time where you thought and expected abantu abesifazana to bind together behind her sibone abantu abesifazana njalo amadoda bemdonsa phansi besithi hayi asifuni. How do we then move forward when you find ukuthi kulabantu abesifazana ngempela who are binding alongside men bengafisi ukuthi abantu abesifazana bakhokheliswe?
Yeah, I think maybe just before I get into that, I'm about to say, let's see, when Mike was speaking, I was just thinking to myself, this is the reality of women in politics generally. This is their experiences every day. And it's good that you say that because it feels like this is evidence to what you're bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Namathai has covered a lot of the issues that I've been thinking about. And just maybe to say, Ubuti, I think the one thing that we lack in Zimbabwe and maybe in other places as well is issues of consistency around our democratic principles, our moral values as a society. Because first of all, wrong is not determined by whether I'm a woman attacking a woman or a man attacking a woman. Wrong is independent of gender.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing, like Namathai said, it shouldn't be wrong because ED is doing it. It shouldn't be wrong because this person from government is doing it. It should be wrong because it's wrong. Not ukuthi kungaba umuntu from opposition, then kinda okay, we've got to defend it. And just also to bring in the issue that Makube with the recent incident of Nelson Chamisa taking away the mic from the wife, the way he handled her on stage at the rally or the celebrations that they had, I didn't feel okay with that. Personally, the first thing I saw everyone's out in Okana, I just stopped the video and I said, this is not okay. And there are a couple of people that I actually shot that video, and I know to be a core MDC. So when I show them, they ask me, where is the problem there?
Mm.
And the one thing I'll say to them, I don't want to get to a point where I say to you guys, you're going to have a problem with it. I think that's where society is right now. When it's the government doing it, it's wrong. But when it's opposition, we've got to defend it because when it's opposition, it's not government. So I think the first thing that we really need to consider as a society is consistency. What value system are we putting down to say this is how people treat women, this is how a girl child is treated? And if we're going to expect that from government, let's expect that from our leaders as well, even if they are opposition, so that when they do something wrong, we're able to call it out. It's a principle that's uniform throughout. Mm-hmm. And like Namathai said as well, with some of those attacks that are given to women or that are just lashed on women, are not necessary. I mean, if you come and ask me, I'm not married, how am I going to be able to run public office? I'm like, there's so many unmarried men that are running offices and they're doing so very well. So at the end of the day, me being in a family or marriage to somebody does not determine or does not validate my capacity to lead in that office. So I think Zim, as I said earlier, is not ready for female leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the manner in which we treat our women at home. My nigga, an opinion. And if you're able to tell everybody, shut up, or those kind of things, it translates to the broader political space where patriarchy is so deeply entrenched and it's affecting a lot of us. It's not just women or girls. It affects the boys' house as well. I was saying the other day, when we're demystifying patriarchy, when we're dismantling patriarchy, we're not just empowering women. We're also giving ourselves as a society an opportunity to redefine what masculinity is, our expectations of the boys' house. That's a problem because the issues of mental health that come with boys keeping it inside, it's issues of patriarchy. So when you're dismantling patriarchy with the broader aim of empowering girls, you are in the process creating opportunities for the boy child to also be assisted. So I think we should also move away from a view of which empowering women is just about women, or this whole issue of fighting patriarchy is about women. It's not about women. It's about correcting issues that are not okay in the society because they're affecting all genders.
Mm-hmm. Mantate kulo noma themba maseko othi abaqali behloniphane bethandane then bazophakama. Wena njengomunye olwela amalungelo abesifazane uthini ngalokho?
ukuthi omama kumele bahloniphane.
Ya, uthi abaqale behloniphane bethandane then bazophakama.
Yeah, I think it's true. I would want to agree with her. Like, if she's speaking about women having to respect each other and love each other, I totally agree. Yeah. I think I say this because if you check them out, you're a guy. Ulama cliques as a guy.
Yeah.
I've seen men protect each other. Like, even when the guy is wrong, why I would defend that? They have a way of doing it. I don't know how it works, but I've seen the brotherhood work. And I think it's something that we don't have in all platforms as women. So it's very important that we respect each other. Umuntu ngambona and you feel like they don't have the capacity or they're not able to speak his cure or they don't know how to dress, you help them. You don't call them out as if, you're on opposite sides. You're supposed to be working together in this. Because the other thing is, the manner in which we treat each other as women kind of sets the tone to how men treat us as women. And the other thing I've noticed, particularly in politics, is that there are men that actually use women to bring other women down. They know what in general mama alishangani, you know. So they use you to pull the other woman down. And I think it's in that space where as women we need to really make a conscious decision to say, I'm gonna support your sister. Even if she's from another political party, she's from a different religion or something that's different from what I believe in. I should be able to say, oh sister, there's a problem. Yeah, you could actually consider being there to be a better person. Because at the end of the day, we're not fighting each other, we're fighting for each other because the empowerment of one woman is empowerment of many other women.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mamlo Chan Kalubambe, let me take my next guest. Ungena uhlelo umthakazo omuhle Zimbabwe omuhle sekusele 9 minutes. Uhlelo lethu labasakhulayo namhla kuhlelo. Time flies when you're having fun. But let's take Umelisa Chingwanangwana. Belisa, unjani sisam?
Sizinjani?
Ngiyaphila. Welcome, welcome, welcome kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo.
Thank you.
Now, the conversation has moved forward past education and so forth, but I know that education is your home. One of the issues that seems to be affecting abantu abasakhulayo ikakhulukazi abesifazana is the issue of access to quality education. When njengombalisi, have you witnessed such things, and how do you go about ensuring ukuthi abantu abesifazana start getting the same access as their male counterparts?
Okay, as a teacher, I've experienced what girls go through on the ground. I've seen it happening. And what I can say is the rural setup has a lot of catching up to do with the rest of the world. Zimbabwe on its own is like a mile away or miles away from the rest of the world, and the rural setup is even worse. Mm. So looking at the situation that I've experienced, Nina, people are okay with just talking about rights for girls, but they're not actually implementing those things. They're so comfortable with the status quo. They just want to maintain things as they are. So access to education, yes, they're okay with it, but only to a certain level, because giving girls more opportunity means disturbing the status quo, and people are just not ready for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you touched on something that both my other two guests who are on the line also touched on, the issue of the status quo. Ooh, there's this formulation, and it's not supposed to be disturbed. That's what Umphakathi is saying. Now, if the status quo is set up that way in such a manner that it's always going to be patriarchal, it's always going to be slanted and favorable towards the male counterparts, how do we go about navigating it to ensure ukuthi abantu besifazana can now start having their human rights respected, can now start being considered equally in our opportunities when we're talking about politics, when we're talking about business, and so forth? How do we go about ensuring and correcting that thing?
Okay, looking at the rural setup where I am, I think we have organizations that are already trying to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have organizations such as Campaign for Education that are providing aid. But I think it needs to go more than, it has to be more than just providing aid, but also opportunities whereby the girls themselves know that there's a world out there and they work towards that. So there's more that needs to be done, maybe in terms of education of the communities themselves. People need to know that there's something to benefit from a society where women are also given opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Melissa? So we said 6 minutes, let me give my other guests an opportunity to love Elise, and then I'll also give you the same, Agnes.
Okay.
All right, Zimbabwe Mose. So now, as we're talking about this topic, of course, I did a little research, and I went to certain organizations that deal with the topic at hand. And now the UNDP released an entire statement where they were talking about gender equality. And so now some fun facts that I'm hoping my guests will be able to comment on. Fun fact is, number one is, it says women earn only 77% for every dollar that men get from the same work. This is in Zimbabwe. 1 in 3 women, 35% of women have experienced physical or sexual violence. 13% women represent just 13% of agricultural landholders. Almost 750 women and girls alive today were married before their 18th birthday. 2/3 of developing countries have achieved gender parity in primary education. So there's that inclusion, there is that promotion. However, it says only 24% of national parliamentarians were women as of November 2018, a small increase from 11.3% in 1995. Namatai, I'm going to come to you first. What needs to be done to fix all these issues? I just highlighted so many different things, and a lot of things scream wrong here.
Okay, so yeah, I think that a lot can be done. I think maybe the first thing that I would actually want to highlight is the issue of, particularly in Zimbabwe, the quota system.
Mm-hmm.
I really genuinely feel that the quota system should be extended. However, moving forward, I think that there are certain tweaks that have to be made in terms of how these women in the, you know, who gets this in parliament via the quota system actually selected, because also the quota system was turning into another instrument for males to use to abuse women, because some women would be abused for them to be appointed, you know, through that quota system. So I feel that maybe, you know, if you improve the quota system to make sure that there is some sort of elective mechanism that allows not only women in political parties, but even women who are everyday citizens and residents that also have access, and also to make sure that in this quota system you have women in business as well who have access to parliament via the quota system. So definitely the extension of the quota system should be made with a few tweaks and a few revisions. That's the first thing. Then the next thing that I wanted to really put across is the idea that in political parties themselves, there is a need to really set the rules as to how political parties should respect gender equality within the parties themselves. You realize that for women to compete on a national stage in national politics, they have a lot of hurdles to overcome even within the political structures themselves. And if we're able to empower women within the political structures of their various political parties, we actually leverage and increase their potential towards actually running for office properly. So I'll give you an example. You'd realize that when it comes to who gets to run in urban areas in an MDC situation, it's usually the men. And women will probably be given rural areas where they will naturally lose, because that's more of ZANU-PF territory. And the inverse is true for ZANU-PF. And you have this situation because they are men who are the decision makers, and women are always going to be put in places where they lose. So rather, create situations where women are in political structures of that party, because as they're empowered there, if more sisters now can choose that, oh, we want more women placed in urban areas, if it's opposition, whatnot, it becomes very strategic. Mm-hmm. The next thing that I would also want to say is that this idea of women's wings. Hello?
I was saying you're going to have to be real quick. No, I'm going to start at 30 seconds, but you're wrong.
It's fine. So I think maybe the final thing that I'll just panel, because the idea of women's wings and youth wings, I think in a way those things half empower, but also in a way they also disempower, particularly when it comes to the women's wing. We hear of the women's wing, we hear of the youth wing, but we don't hear of the men's wing, which means that there's a big league for big boys, and men and youth, and women and youth are not into that league. So women must actually strive to be in that league and not just becoming powerful in a swing. We must actually be mainstream. I think that having been said, maybe key issues that are very strategic that we can work on towards leveraging on how many women end up in positions of power and influence.
All right. Namasai Kokweza, thank you so much for wrapping up our program. I want to give Umam Lojo Ituba Utilaya Vanlisu Shelo, but unfortunately, time has run out. Melissa Lawe. time has run out. Guys, time flies when you're having fun. Thank you so much. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank my guests, Namasai Tokweza, Mandate Mlotwa, and Melissa Chingwanangwana. Thank you also to every caller on Ngenele Yokuhlelo. Njalo, most importantly, to everybody who wrote their name, numbers, to Facebook. Ngiyabonga kakhulu, ndinothenda zvikuru. Muri Zimbabwe, anokuoneka ine mufaro, ndini Mike Hove. Bye-bye!